If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Psalm 51, 10 to 12. I want to talk to you about preparations for a new season. I believe we're in a new season. And I know summer just happened. We're now officially into the summer season, which is wonderful, which is great. But I believe there's a spiritual season that is taking place, and we're in a new season. It's started. It has started. There's a new season that you're in. But there's some preparations for that new season. And if we'll turn to Psalm 51, 10 to 12, just a few verses, I want to talk about that. It says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you." This morning I want to share with you about preparations that we need to make to get ourselves ready for a new season. It's really been kind of crazy over these last few weeks. How many people have called us or texted us, emailed us to tell us that you're in a new season. They've been declaring that over Judy and I, and they've been declaring that over this church, that you are in a new season. And it's been kind of interesting because those people have been from all over North America. And so it kind of makes you pay attention and to listen when people are telling you you're in a new season. And as I talk with other people in this area, they too are sensing a new season. Now, a few years back, we also had a lot of prophetic words that were coming into our church, and they've never stopped. They may have slowed down a little bit, but now they've gone back up to increasing. And back some years ago, we kind of went into a season where kind of like all hell broke loose instead of all heaven break loose. And it was a lot more than just an economic crash. There was very strong demonic attack that was sent our way to try to stop what God is doing and try to destroy us. From our leadership right down to everyone in this church, right down to you. And I hope you realize sometimes the signs of the enemy are actually very easy to see, but sometimes you just don't see them. And when you start seeing unusual things take place or happening, it's usually a sign that the enemy is at work and doing something. You've been under a season of attack, whether you realize it or not. And that season of attack has been meant to discourage you, to defeat you, to divide you, to destroy you, and to give up on all those words that have been spoken over the church. And when you see all these things happening to you, a lot of the D's, the destroy, to discourage, defeat, divide, that's the enemy's signature. That's not people's signatures. That's the enemy's signatures. Many of you may have not realized that your battle that you've been facing over these past few years has not just been a physical battle. You may have been looking at that battle as just being physical, and it hasn't been. There's been a spiritual battle that's been taking place. And I realize it's been a tough season for many of you. I know it's been tough for us as well. But that season is changing. There's a turnaround, and you're entering into a new season. And again, I'm not talking about summer starting. I'm talking about a new season spiritually that will affect you spiritually, but also will affect the physical. Turnarounds are already happening for some people. I'm hearing good testimonies from people of situations and circumstances that are changing around and turning around for them. And that season is upon us. And it is going to affect the physical. And we are going to see some things that are going to start shifting and changing around us. I really believe this is St. Paul's time. This is the Lakeland's time. This is Alberta's time. This is Canada's time. This is Bethel Family Worship Center's time. It's a new day. It's a new season. I believe that's decreed by God. The old season is over. The deeds, the offenses, the mistakes, and whatever other bad or difficult things that may have happened to you over these last few years, I believe the Lord wants me to say it's over. That's over. You're entering into a new season. A new season. You know, God has a very special place in his heart for this church, for this town, for this region. I hope you notice that. It's been very unusual how many people have come to us from all parts of the world, and they all tell us that they sense God wants to do something great right here. We need to pay attention to that. And as we hear so many words and so many people write us and email us and call us, I often say to God, well, God, who am I? God, who are we? That you'd be so mindful of us, that you would just continue to speak to us through so many people of your desire for this region and for this church. And so the prophets are out there saying to us, it's a new season. And I think many of us have been feeling that inside. Something has changed. Something has shifted, and we're starting to notice that. And really, that's what prophecy is supposed to do. It's supposed to confirm what we already sense in our spirit. Change is in the air, and soon you will see it and experience. But as a new season comes, so do new changes on our part need to come. And that's kind of where I'd like to focus the rest of this message. And I want to refer to two individuals in the Bible, Saul and David. I've been reading 1 Samuel now for a little while and been kind of looking at their stories and reading their stories, reading a lot of the Old Testament of late. And as we look at these individuals, Saul and David, they were the first kings of Israel. And as they entered into a new season that was far greater than what they ever imagined, Saul thought that he was one of the lowliest of people of his tribe in Benjamin, which was really a lie. His father was very wealthy. They're well-to-do. The Bible says that he was head and shoulders above all of Israel. And so when you kind of look back at that story of David and Goliath, the person that should have went against Goliath should have been King Saul. He was the man that was head and shoulders above all of the Israelites. So obviously he was very, very tall. Then as we look at this man that came into Israel, we then also look at David, just a shepherd boy, considered the lowliest of his family. And that part wasn't a lie. He was considered. His father didn't even think he was worthy to come before the prophet Samuel. And here he was to go from a shepherd boy to be a king. New seasons. New seasons. However, as we look at the lives, you can read this all in 1 Samuel. So we don't got the time to do that today, to read through all those chapters of the Bible. But you can do that maybe later on this afternoon. That huge change that happened in their lives. We see that King Saul, he struggled with the kingship. There was impatience. Couldn't be waiting for the prophet to do things. He couldn't wait. He was very impatient. He was disobedient, prideful, rebellious, stubborn. And he refused to repent or change. Even when the prophet came before him and called him out on it, he still would make excuses and would not change. King David, on the other hand, was patient, going through years of rejection, false accusation, being hunted to be killed, waiting for that right time for the fulfillment of the word that was spoken over him, that he would become king. King David also made some mistakes, but he continued to have a heart that was remorseful and quick to repent. And when the prophet came to his door and the prophet came to him and told him that he had sinned, there wasn't a response of excuses. There wasn't a response of anger or getting mad at the prophet for saying those things. There was immediate remorse and immediate repentance. And he pursued the heart of God and was one of Israel's greatest kings. But it was a learning curve for both of them that they needed to learn to do things God's ways. They needed to learn to be sensitive to God's voice and then to follow that up with obedience to what God had said. And that's something we want to do as well. We want to do things God's ways. We want to be in that place where we're sensitive to the voice of God and we obey the voice of God. And as we enter into a new season, there are a lot of things that may have happened to you in these last few years. And I really think the Lord is just saying, leave it as the old season. It's over, it's gone, and it's done. Put the past behind and move forward into a new season. A new season that God has for us. And as we do that, I find this simple little passage, this little prayer of David, serves as a great prayer for us to pray as we would enter into a new season that God might use us. This prayer came from when David sinned with Bathsheba, where he had her husband killed in battle. He had a lot to repent for. But as he came to that place of repentance, he entered into a new season, and we want to do that as well. And so that's what we're going to do. We're just going to look at this simple little passage. I remember as a kid, we used to sing this. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. We used to sing that little chorus. But it is a great chorus, but it's also a great prayer that we can pray. So as we prepare for a new season, one of the first things we need to do is pray for a clean heart. Time to pray for a clean heart. Let it get cleaned out. The things that have happened to you in your past over these last few years, and where maybe it hasn't been good, it's been difficult, it's time to leave that season behind and pray, God, cleanse my heart. Clean me on the inside. As we look at the lives of King Saul and King David, we see that King Saul was not very responsive to the heart of God, while King David was very responsive to the heart of God. And the Bible tells us that he was a man that was referred to as a man after God's own heart. And as we read the story of David, as we read the Psalms, we really do see that he was a man after God's own heart. Yet he still made mistakes. He still had some setbacks. He still had some seasons where things didn't go as they were should have went. But yet at the same time, he learned from those mistakes. And instead of making excuses, instead of getting mad and rebellious like King Saul did, he went to God. He confessed his sin with remorse, repented of his sins, and he uses these words that are here before us in Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. See, God looks at the heart. God looks on the inside to see our true motives and our true desires. And so we need to take evaluations at time to honestly look at how we're doing with God on the inside. How am I with God? How are you in your relationship with God? How's your heart? How's your heart? Are there any areas where we have sinned? Are there any areas where we have disobeyed God? Or has there been any areas where we've been falling short? Are there areas where we have offense or bitterness or anger, rebellion? Have we been loyal to God? Have we forgiveness issues to deal with? Is there anything that is out of place with us and God? See, we need those times of serious reflection from time to time and asking God, God, would you come in and cleanse me? And especially my heart, come into my heart and cleanse, because that's where the deep wounds are. There can be wounds and scars on the outside, but the deepest wounds are on the inside. And those are the ones that we struggle with. Those are the ones that we struggle with healing. And that's where we mean to say, Lord, come into my heart today. I want a clean heart. I want you to come and bring healing to that heart. It's interesting as you read the story of King Saul, the Bible says that God gave him a new heart. That as he started out into this kingship, God did something to the heart. Unfortunately for King Saul, it didn't last long. He didn't continue to walk in it. God gives us many gifts, but you got to continue to walk in them. He can give you a new heart. If you think you're too damaged today, God can give you a new heart, a whole new heart. I love that what David prayed in Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. There's so many beautiful prayers in the book of Psalms. You've often heard me say, I love to read the book of Psalms, and I really do. I have to go through it maybe every 3 months. I have to kind of go back and just read the book of Psalms, because they're very encouraging, they're very heart-touching, and there's so many prayers in there to pray to have that right relationship with God. But we need that kind of soul-searching from time to time, getting serious with God, allowing the spotlight of the Holy Spirit to reveal anything that's been offensive to Him, or that we're still holding on to, or things that we're still doing. The Bible says God desires clean hands, clean hearts. And He says those are the people that are going to draw close to God and that are going to reap His blessing. So as we start this new season, let's begin by examining ourselves. And let's see if there's any offensive thing in our hearts. And if there is, let's deal with it. Let's ask God, Lord, come into this heart. I ask that You would clean it. Get rid of all the residue. Anything that's still in there, maybe you've dealt with a lot of things, but there's residue still in there, and say, God, I want You to clean this heart. Clean my heart. Beautiful prayer. I pray that prayer. Create in me a clean heart. As we enter into this new season, we need clean hearts for God to work through us. Then secondly, in this new season, we need to pray to God to renew a loyal spirit within us. Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a loyal spirit within me. That's what a right spirit is. It's a loyal spirit. It's a spirit that is faithful to God. Again, as we look at the kings of Israel, the first two kings of Israel, one of the problems that Saul faced is that he continued to struggle with loyalty to God. Well, on the other hand, David was very loyal to God, except on a few occasions. But then on those occasions, he was very quick to repent. And sometimes as Christians, we also struggle in this area of loyalty to God. As we sang that song, great is Your faithfulness. He is faithful. But are we always faithful to Him? We need this loyalty. Going through life, sometimes, you know, just life itself can sidetrack us and start us focusing on things that really aren't all that important. And we leave the things of God on the back burner, kind of on the back shelf. We need to ask ourselves, what have you done for God of late? What have you done for God of late? You know, sometimes we're more concerned about the praises of men than the praises of God. We kind of like the praises of men, matter of fact, because there's many people talking to us. Well, when we do stuff for God, sometimes we just hear a still small voice that He loves us and thank you from Him. I think sometimes we like the praises of men. Saul did. That's what started getting him into trouble. He was more concerned about their praise than what God was saying. We need to be careful of those things. Sometimes God gets put in the back seat because we're too busy, too occupied, just with life sometimes. And our relationship suffers. And we start to slowly fade away from God. Always happens gradually, never happens abruptly. Because when it happens gradually, you don't notice. Just like, you know, when you get on the tube this summer and you're nice hot day and you're kind of just resting in the tube in the water, and then suddenly you're far from shore. Didn't happen quickly, it just kind of happened gradually until all of a sudden you realize that, oh, I'm too far away. Sometimes we get that place that, God, where are You? And maybe God's saying back to us, I was going to ask you the very same question. Where are You? We've fallen away from Him. We've become disloyal to Him, unfaithful, choosing our way over His, convincing ourselves that we've really done no wrong, just like King Saul, I didn't do anything wrong. Or at the very least, that we've just committed just a small infraction. And then the excuses come and we get bitter with God and we get mad at God because we are called to account. King Saul was famous for falling to this one. He would keep compromising. He would partially obey what God said to him, thinking that that was good enough. But the prophet Samuel would come and rebuke Saul, and Saul didn't like that. He wanted to make everything look good. It got so bad for King Saul that he refused to repent. He refused to change. And so the Bible says that God rejected him as king because of that disloyalty. 1 Samuel 15:11, I am sorry that I ever made Saul king, for he has not been loyal to me and has refused to obey my command. Imagine, God gave him a new heart. And yet, what did he do with that? He threw it away. He went back to pick up the old heart, his old ways. And he chose to rebel against God and be disloyal to God. We got to be on guard against that. We got to be on guard that we have unconfessed sin in our lives, or that we continue to sin without repenting of our sin, or that we ignore our sin. Because you look at the life of King Saul. When you continue to ignore your sin, when you continue to repent of your sin, and God has sent someone even to correct you, and you still refuse, another spirit can then become your friend. And that spirit is no friend, but it can come. So we need to examine ourselves as we enter this new season. It's a time to deal with our stuff. It's time we deal with our sin. It's time we deal with our disloyalty or our lack of faithfulness and make things right. Because we want to have a right spirit, a right relationship. We want to get back into that place where we serve our God faithfully. We want to get back to the place where our priorities are right. And that's somewhere we need to ask, God, help me. God, I pray that you would renew me. You would restore me. You would build back up again that spirit that is loyal and faithful to you. Because this is a season to be loyal. This is a season to have the right kind of spirit in us. And then thirdly, in this new season, we need to be careful that the Holy Spirit is not taken from us. Psalm 51:11, do not banish me from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. When we look at the life of King Saul, he experienced this sadness where he no longer felt the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit in his life anymore. He continued to pretend that, you know, that everything was A-okay, that everything was good. He continued to go through all the motions to make it look good. But yet even his court officials said to him, you need somebody to come and to minister to you. You need someone that's going to bring in the presence again. And they called in David. That was David's training ground. Even though he was already anointed as king, he did not step into that anointing. He did not step into that kingship for many, many years. But he got to learn. He got to watch King Saul. Got to be his assistant for many, many years. And he would play the harp and those spirits would go. But soon, King Saul, still not dealing with his sin, became very jealous of David. Tried to kill him on a number of occasions. We need to remember, friends, you can lose that sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. See, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can offend the Holy Spirit when we're being disobedient, when we're being stubborn, and we're being rebellious. We can get ourselves to the place that we're not really hearing from God anymore. We don't feel his presence anymore. But yet we know enough about Christianity that we can still go through the motions, we can still operate out of our giftings to try to hide the fact that God's Spirit's no longer on us. See, friends, we need to realize the Holy Spirit is more than a presence. He's a person. And you can offend that person. You can grieve that person. So we need to remember that. When we allow things in our hearts that are offensive to God and continue to excuse our sin and not deal with our sin, when we're disloyal to God, there are consequences. And one of those consequences can be that you lose that sense of the presence of God. We need to be careful of that. You know, sometimes, you know, you've heard me say it, there's other of you who have said the same thing. We need to be careful of the presence of God that we sense in this church. There's a very real sense of the presence of God in this church. And if you're not feeling that, something's wrong. Something you need to deal with very quickly. When there are people that drive by this church and the Spirit of God, the presence of God touches them, draws them into this place, sure tells me His presence is here. When I see people that walk into our church that are not Christians and they don't even get halfway through that foyer, and Cynthia will testify this of herself, they say, "My, what a peaceful place this is. There's peace here." They're sensing it. Friends, we need to be careful that we don't ignore or that we reject the Holy Spirit that is speaking to us, because that presence can leave us or we don't sense that presence anymore. As we look at the King Saul, we see that many times the Lord confronted him through the prophet Samuel especially. And finally, God just said, "That's enough. It's enough. It's enough." And the Lord rejected him. Why? Because of his persistence, disobedience, his rebellion, his stubbornness, longing for the praise of men. God finally said, "It's enough." And he rejected him. 1 Samuel 18:10, "The very next day, a tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul, and he began to rave in his house like a madman." Friends, when you don't deal with those things that God is telling you to deal with, when you continue, and we're not just talking, you know, a little while, we're talking when you continue this for quite some time, that you just constantly reject, reject, reject what God is telling you to do, another spirit comes along. And it's not the Holy Spirit. It's a tormenting spirit that will come into your life. You never want that. You don't want that in your life. But it will come. It will come. And you may look like you can still handle it and make yourself look real good to the public, but it's going to come out. It's going to come out. We need the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of peace flowing out of our lives. We need the Holy Spirit that empowers us and strengthens us with His manifest presence in our lives. You don't want to go down that road of pride or disobedience, stubbornness, grieving the Holy Spirit, ignoring the promptings of the Holy Spirit, ignoring what you know is right to do. Because if you do, my friend, you can find yourself at a place with a different spirit altogether. Even the great judge Samson in the Bible, the mightiest man in the Bible, slowly, slowly drifted from God because he didn't quite follow everything that God was telling him to do. He kept going towards his own needs instead. And as he did that, we see that finally his strength left him. And it's interesting that it tells us when he lost that strength, the Bible says he didn't know. He didn't realize that the Spirit of God had left him. My goodness, we don't ever, ever want to fall in that place. We are very blessed in this church that we can sense the presence of God. And to me, that's so very, very important. And we need to continue to acknowledge His presence and honor the Lord, that there might be a wonderful sense of His presence. And I believe God in this new season wants to bring a greater presence in this church, in this region, in this area, to touch and draw many more people. I don't want to lose that kind of a thing, because it's pretty serious stuff. And as we enter this new season, let's be serious about the presence. Let's pursue the presence. Let's really enter in and experience the presence. I've been reading that book that I mentioned to you of D.L. Moody, and I finished it there last week. And he really spoke of how important it was for the presence to be in a service, even with a worship. Very, very strong in worship back in the 1800s. Very strong on the importance of worship in a service. Because you'd often in a service without worship, as people would begin to worship, conviction would happen. People would start confessing their sin. People would start making their hearts right with God. People would start getting saved before the preacher ever came to the pulpit. And that can happen and does happen right here in this place as well. Sometimes through our worship, God begins to speak to us. God begins to touch us and we start to respond to him. That needs to happen. We need to pursue that. In this season, we need the Holy Spirit's presence. We need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit more than ever before. Because it's a new season. Then fourthly, in this new season, we need to pray that God will restore the joy of salvation. Restore, Psalm 51:12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Sometimes we need that because it's lost. You can lose it. Are you still excited about serving God? Are you still excited that Jesus Christ came into your life? Does that kind of give you still chills when you think back to that day where you open up your heart to God and said, I welcome you into my life today? When you think of that, does that still bring joy to you? We can lose it. David lost it. And so he was very quick to say, Lord, restore the joy. Restore the joy. King Saul as well, he lost the joy of salvation. He lost the joy of serving God. Didn't treasure it. Didn't think of it as important. And sometimes as we go through tough seasons, we lose our joy in serving Christ. We lose our joy for the house of God. The season was hard. It was difficult. And we got hurt. We got offended. We got wounded. We got caught off guard. We were robbed of our joy. It was a season of little to no joy. And I know there's many of you in this room that you've gone through a season where there's been hardly any joy at all because of various circumstances that have happened. The king Saul, the joy of being a king, quickly left him to the place where he became tormented. He became jealous. And he really did lose it concerning the things of God, where we resorted to killing the priests of God. Only one priest escaped. The very God that called him to be a king. The very God that put him in a place of kingship. The very God that continued to speak to him and warn him. He totally rejected it. And to show a sign of his total rejection, he attacked the priests that God had appointed and killed every one of them except for one. See, when the joy goes, it can lead you down a very destructive path where you not only lash out against yourself and others, but even the household of faith and its leaders. I know we've gone through a season where a lot of people have been robbed of their joy. It's not a good place to be in. No fun at all. I feel that the Lord is saying to us, that season's over. That season is over. That season is over and done. You are now entering into a new season. And the cry of our hearts does need to be, then Lord, restore, make new again, give me my joy back. If you feel that that joy has been robbed, you need to cry out, say, God, I want my joy back. Because I really believe this season is going to be such a joyous season. And where the enemy has robbed you of joy, God is going to give you back a joy that is far superior than what you had before. It's going to be multiplied because the enemy needs to pay back what he has stolen. And it's not just, you know, on even ground. He has to pay in multiples back to you. It's been very interesting that many of these words that have been coming to our church, they've been mentioning joy. There's a joyous season ahead for you. There's a joyous season ahead for you and Judy. There's a joyous season ahead for your church. There's a joyous season ahead for your community and for your region. But friends, we got to ask for it. We got to cry out just as David. I want the joy back. I want it to be restored. What the enemy has taken, I want payback. And I want it restored. It's a new season. Let the cry be heard that we want our joy back. Restore the joy of my salvation. Restore the joy of serving you, God. And then lastly, in this new season, we need to be praying, asking God for his help, that we'd be willing to obey. that we would be a people that's 100% sold out to him and obedient to him in all of our ways. That we would stop all these other things that we're busying ourselves about that aren't even important and get ourselves sold out to God again. Just like that day you gave your life to Jesus Christ, everything changed for you. Your lifestyle changed. You began to pursue God and hunger after the things of God. You couldn't get enough of God. Is that the same? Or has that been kind of left behind? Psalm 51:12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. See, obedience is very important for this season. And we need to be ready to obey. Partial obedience is not good enough. God is looking for full obedience. He wants people that will be sold out for him. To enter into this new season, he's looking for total obedience. Again, look at the life of King Saul. King Saul, he didn't want to fully obey the Lord. He only wanted to be partial obedience. And sometimes that describes us, that we're satisfied with partial obedience. When God says, no, I want full obedience. And when King Saul was confronted by the prophet, he would get mad, he would get upset, and then he'd go out and do some terrible things, like killing the priests. But he had become rebellious, he'd become stubborn. And a spirit began to torment him because the Holy Spirit left him. 1 Samuel 15:11 again, I'm sorry that I ever made King Saul, for he has not been loyal to me, he has refused to obey my command. Be very, very careful when you get to that place in your life where you refuse to do what God has called you to do. When you know to do something that is right and you refuse to do it, you're in dangerous, dangerous territory. When you refuse to obey what you know is right, then friends, you've entered into a place of stubbornness and rebellion. And Samuel tells us that is not a good place to be found in. 1 Samuel 15:22, 23, it says, but Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than the offering the fat of rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. So because you've rejected the command of the Lord, he's rejected you as king. You know, sometimes we make jokes about people and their stubbornness and their rebellion. We don't take it too seriously ourselves. Well, we need to realize something. God takes it very seriously. Very seriously. Because God says rebellion is like witchcraft. Same thing. If you're into rebellion, then friend, you're dabbling into witchcraft. Friend, if you're into stubbornness, then you're dabbling into idol worship. That's what God says. It's not a joking matter, because it can lead you to the rejection of the call of God over your life, and it can cause you to miss the next season that God had planned for you. And I don't know about you, I don't want to miss the next season. I don't want to be one of those that is rejected or removed from experiencing that next season. I want to be obedient. And even though we may be weak at times and we still may fail at times, I want to be in that place where I would quickly call on God and say, God, I'm sorry. God, forgive me and help me, I pray. Friends, as we enter this new season, I realize many have gone through some pretty tough things. But something that you may not have realized is that you've gone through training. You've been going through training. You've been going through a time of testing where the Lord has been testing you to see what you would do and how you would respond. And he's been looking to see if you would respond with obedience or if you would respond like Saul and get mad, begin to curse people, and begin to attack the shepherds, the priests. He was testing us. Are you going to be obedient? This new season requires obedience more than ever before. we really need to be obedient and sensitive to that voice. So let's step up to that plate. Let's deal with any of our obedience issues that we still may have, and let's clear them up. For this new season is going to require a willingness and openness of obedience, doing things you never did before. Because God's going to call us to do things that you didn't do before. And if you haven't learned obedience, then you're not going to know to step out when God calls you to step out. You're going to be doing things you never thought were possible, but you won't be able to do them unless it comes to that place of obedience where you say yes. So let's pray that. Let's pray, God, help us that I might have a willingness to obey, because great things are ahead this season. Now this morning, as I talk about this new season, I pray that this is something that I spoke today that resonates within your heart. I really pray that it's not something that you're saying, I have no idea what you're talking about, Pastor. I don't feel anything. I trust that you are, that it resonates within you. We're entering a new season. I already know there's some of you already here that you've entered already into it. Things have already changed. There's things shifting for you, and you've been testifying. You've been telling me about things that have been happening where you've had, for some years, where things were not going so good. But all of a sudden, there's been a change. That's going to continue to change in your favor, friends. It's going to continue to change in your favor. But I believe this new season is a season that all those prophetic words that have been spoken over this church, all those words of encouragement that come from around the world, they're going to come to pass. This is our season of signs and wonders and miracles. This is our season where multitudes will come to Christ, encounter God. This is a season where joy, it's going to be a joyous season. But at the same time, it needs to be a serious season on our part. Not to be taken lightly, but seriously. And so I encourage you to pray, as I will continue to pray. Psalm 51, 10 to 12. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. I pray that resonates in your heart today. I pray that I'm not up here speaking to a bunch of people that say, I don't know, Pastor. I don't know if it's a new season or not. There should be something inside of you that's saying, yes, it is. It is. It is. It's that season where I'm going to pour out my spirit upon the sons and daughters. God has a new season for us. Some of you are seeing it already. Others are going to see it very, very soon. There's things that have been shifting and changing. And I know it's been a time of testing. I know it's been a time of learning. I know it's been a time of the refiner's fire, going through the fire. Not fun at all, but there's fun ahead. You're entering into the fun season. I really believe that. I really sense that God is saying that. It's a new season. Yes, I've heard lots of words tell me that, but I feel it in here more than just hearing it out there. But it's good to hear those words as well to confirm what you're sensing, that you're not going crazy. There is a new season for you. And so as we close, the musicians, you come back, the instruments, I'm going to just close in a prayer. Father, I thank you for a new season. And Lord, I would just want to pray over each person that's in this place here today, where, Lord, maybe they've gone through a difficult season. It's been hard. It's been difficult. There's been sickness. There's been attacks of the enemy. There's been so many things have come against them. Well, Lord, we declare, I feel you want me to declare that this is a new season. I feel that you want me to say over your people today, it's a new season for you. Even where there's been sickness and disease, there's healing that's coming for you. There's a change that's coming for you. Where you've been hurt and discouraged and saddened, there's a joy that's coming for you. He's going to restore your joy. Where your circumstances have seemed that there is no hope, God is saying there is hope. Things are going to turn around. They're going to turn around for you. It's a new season. I declare it in the name of Jesus. I'm going to be obedient today and say unto you, there's a new season. Your old season is over. It's over. It's over. That sickness, that disease, those troubles, those trials, those temptations, all those things, it's over. God says it's over, and there's a new season that you're stepping into. And it's going to be a joyous season. It's going to be a good season where you're going to feel happy. You're going to feel good. You're going to get excited again. It's a new season. And I declare that over each of your situations and your circumstances, a new season is upon you. So, Father, I thank you for this new season. And, Lord, we welcome that new season. And Lord, we welcome the moving of your Holy Spirit, that your Holy Spirit would be poured out like a river. Lord, it would come in like a flood, like a mighty wave that, Lord, like just coming from behind us, coming over this pulpit area, coming over this stage and just touching every one of us, Lord. We welcome that, God. We need a new season. I need a new season. I think we all do, Lord. So we welcome the new season from you. Everything changes. Everything gets turned around. There's a new joy. There's a new happiness. Thank you. We receive it, Lord. A new season financially for people. For people who have been struggling financially and jobs and all those kinds of things. A new season financially. New season for broken relationships. New season for marriages that are on the rocks. There's a new season. New season where you've been suffering from sickness and from unusual symptoms. Anytime you hear that word unusual, that's usually the enemy's signature, not God's. We speak an end to unusual sickness. Unusual feelings that have been coming. Depression, discouragement, new season. A new season. That old season's book is closed. It's done.